Hello, I have a really juicy episode for you today, and I really think you're going to enjoy it. So, today we're going to be discussing something that can really impact your ability to lose fat that isn't nutrition and it isn't exercise related. So, we're going to dive into that today, and let's get to it. Hi there. Welcome to the Effective Fitness for Women podcast, your go-to guide for practical weightlifting and nutrition tips. I'm Rachel, a wife, mom of six, registered dietitian, and passionate weightlifter. This podcast is for the woman who is tired of not knowing what to do in the gym, frustrated with trying to eat right, but not sure what eating right actually is, and just wants to start seeing some results. If that's you, then you're in the right place. This podcast is all about teaching you what you need to do in the gym and the kitchen to lose fat, gain muscle, and be the strongest you've ever been. Are you ready? Let's go. Okay, so that was kind of a tease, right? But would this really be a podcast if I didn't do a little bit of like teaser at the beginning, right? Okay, so I am super excited to discuss today's topic because it really ties into what I'm really trying to teach you guys on this podcast, which is to take a whole woman approach to fat loss, right? We need to be making sure that our life is supporting our efforts in every aspect. And this is a big one, okay? So today we're going to be talking about sleep and fat loss, specifically how not enough sleep can inhibit your fat loss. All right. So, did you actually know that lack of sleep can literally inhibit your ability to lose fat? Yes. So, we're going to go a little bit into the science of this. This has to do with hormones. The reason that lack of sleep or sleep deprivation can inhibit fat loss is because of the effect that sleep deprivation has on certain hormones. So, one of those hormones, when you are sleep deprived, one of the hormones that goes up is called ghrelin. This hormone controls your hunger signals. Have you ever noticed when you've pulled an all-nighter? I don't know. I remember in college, right? Pulling all-nighters, and that next day you're like starving, and you're not like starving for fruits and vegetables and lean protein. You're starving for carbs, right? And fat, like chips and fast food and that type of stuff. And I just thought that was me. And later on, when I, completed my schooling as a dietitian, it's like, no, like your body is literally making you crave those things because of the effect that the sleep deprivation had on your hormones, the ghrelin. So that's the ghrelin, right? So sleep deprivation also decreases a hormone called leptin. Leptin regulates your appetite. So decreased leptin levels tells your body, oh, we don't have enough food. We're starving. There's a threat. So guess what happens? You eat more, right? And in addition, if that wasn't enough, when you are sleep deprived, your cortisol levels also goes up, which tells your body we need to conserve this energy. We need to hang on to it. Okay. So does that sound like something that's conducive for fat loss or weight loss? Absolutely not, right? We want to be making sure that we have all of our ducks in a row to make fat loss as easy as possible, right? Because y'all know me, I'm a big advocate of let's stay in a fat loss season the minimum amount of time. So, trying to get our sleep optimized is going to be a big priority. So, I have been now, okay, I do want to say there's seasons where we just can't control this, right? I'm specifically thinking of the newborn season. Okay. I was in that for a long time. And during a fat loss phase, We had a kid that had some health struggles. He actually had sleep apnea, surprisingly. And due to his tonsils. Did y'all know that? So little kids can actually get sleep apnea from having ginormous tonsils that like flap back over their airway in the middle of the night. It was the weirdest thing. Anyway, he's doing a lot better now. But when we were in that, he was waking up so frequently and it was like having a newborn. And I noticed definitely it affected my hunger levels. So this is, the science is true. It will impact your fat loss. It's going to be more difficult, but I do understand that there are seasons where you can't exactly control it. And so you need to optimize other things in your life as best you can, right? But if we can optimize our sleep, we should. And so that is what we are going to be talking about today, because most of us are not sleep deprived because we have a newborn or our kid randomly has sleep apnea, right? Most of the time, it is self-inflicted sleep deprivation. Am I right? I mean, I'm looking at myself too, okay? So that is what we're going to be talking about today. So what is considered a appropriate amount of sleep? In general, 7 to 8 hours a night. Does that seem like a huge amount to you? I felt like it did when I first read that. Because most of the time, you know, I had spent a lot of time in the 5 to 6 hour range, which is not optimal. So 7 to 8 hours is our goal in general. It's just like everything else. Everybody is individual and can have, you know, individual goals. Like some people might be like, I'm just fine with 7 hours. And other people are like, well, I need 9. Okay. So, but in general, 7 to 8 hours. So with this, I did a little bit of research on this and I linked my sources in the show notes for you. But one fascinating thing that I read to prove this point is a study where they did 14 days of calorie restriction and the participants lost less fat with 5.5 hours time in bed versus when they spent 8.5 hours in bed. Okay, so it really, even if you are in a fat loss phase and you actually are restricting your calories, if you are sleep deprived, your body is going to fight you tooth and nail. So let's make it easy, right? I'm all about making it easy. Research also suggests, this was so fascinating to me, that sleep affects your food choices, right? That makes sense. When you're sleep deprived, you're going to be craving, you know, unhealthy things. But your food choices can also impact your sleep. So what you are eating can impact your sleep quality as well, which I thought was really interesting. So there's two different parts of this. I'm mostly going to be talking about sleep duration, which is the amount of time that you're sleeping. But there is also an aspect of sleep quality, which is how deep into your sleep cycles you're getting. And that also impacts things, but that's a little bit more nuanced. So mostly, and most of us honestly, I just have a problem with duration. If we can't get that down, you know, we're not going to be able to address the other piece as well. So this is why I take this whole woman approach to fat loss. I truly believe that you have to support the whole woman in her effort to lose fat. And so sleep is one piece of that. If you need any help with this, my specialty is helping women to make sure that their life is aligned with their efforts for fat loss. So if you are interested in working with me, you can go to my website. You can go to my website at effectivefitnessforwomen.com. I have a work with me page and there's an application that you can fill out to work with me. So we know that we need more sleep, right? We know that sleep impacts fat loss in a significant way. So what do we do about it, right? I don't just want to paint this depressing picture for you. We need to change some things if we want to be able to sleep more. So I have four steps that you can take to get more sleep here. So the first one actually does have to do with what you're eating or drinking specifically. Can you guess it? Decrease your caffeine. Yes. So, and this does not just mean don't have a cup of coffee before bed. And those of you who can drink a cup of coffee and then go to sleep, I have something to say to you as well. So there is the half-life of caffeine is about 5 hours, between 4 and 6 hours. Okay, so we'll just say five. That means that it takes 5 hours for the caffeine rate or the caffeine amount in your blood to decrease by half. But you still have half in your blood after 5 hours. Okay, so we need to double that time. We need to think, okay, if I want to go to sleep in 10 hours from now, when do I need to stop having coffee or caffeine, right? Because caffeine, you may be able to go to sleep just fine, but it impacts that quality piece of your sleep. So you will not be resting. Your brain, your literal brain, will not be able to rest as well as it could without caffeine in its bloodstream. Okay, does that make sense? So it's not just about the ability to fall asleep, but also the quality of the sleep. So that's your first step, is when do you need to stop drinking caffeine? So for me, that's by 2 p.m. I can't have it any later than that, or it will impact my ability to fall asleep at night. And I can tell. So whatever that number is for you, figure that out, right? Because we want to have the best quality and quantity sleep that we can get. The second step is to plan to have good sleep. What do I mean by that? That means to set a bedtime, which means you need to figure out what time do you need to wake up and then back that up 7 to 8 hours. I know it seems crazy. A lot of times my bedtime is 9:30, and that's just what it has to be because I need to prioritize my sleep. It all goes back to priorities, right? So figuring that out and being honest with yourself, what time do I actually need to go to bed in order to get 7 to 8 hours of sleep, and work it backwards, okay? So make that plan. So that's step two. The third step, this is going to be the one that's going to get me all the hate mail. Turn off your screens, okay? Ideally, 2 hours before bedtime, okay? Blue light, which is the kind of light that comes from screens, makes your brain actually think it's earlier than it is. And so it stimulates you. You aren't able to have that melatonin release. Melatonin is the hormone that's involved in our circadian rhythm, which is our sleep cycles. That's the hormone that tells our brain, okay, it is time to relax. We are getting ready to sleep. You know, back in the day before they had like electric lights and screens and all this stuff, I think I read somewhere, everybody got like 11 to 13 hours of sleep a night because they went to bed when the sun went down and they got up when the sun got up, right? They didn't have a choice. So because they were so attuned, their brain was so attuned with the cycles of the sun. We are very separated from that now. So we have to sort of parent ourselves and take our screens away so that we can allow our body to release those hormones that it needs to get us ready for a good night of sleep. I am not perfect at this in any way, but I'm getting better. It's about progress over perfection. And, you know, one of the big steps that I did that has made a really big difference is I stopped using my phone as an alarm clock. I just bought an old-fashioned alarm clock. I have an alert on my phone, my task app. I love my task app, right? And it goes off at 8 p.m. and it says, put phone to bed. And I take my phone to my bathroom, I plug it in, and then I don't touch it. It also allows me to have undistracted time with my husband and my kids during our normal bedtime routine. And it's just, it's really helped me a lot with my sleep. Also, it helps with this, you know, when the alarm goes off in the morning, I'm not immediately on my phone, like checking my email or checking, you know, whatever. So it's helped me to disconnect from the phone and from the screen, which in my mind is a very positive thing. So the last step that in this process is to have a nighttime routine. So put your screens away and then have a routine for yourself that signals to your body it is time to start getting ready to relax and go to sleep. You know, it could be whatever you want it to be. Do some stretching. It could be, you know, wash your face, read a book, do journaling. You know, some people like to do journaling to get the stuff out of their brain, right, before bed. Whatever you need to do, start with one thing. Make a one thing bedtime routine for now. And then you can add on to it, right, like habit stacking. So that is how we work to prioritize our sleep. So just to recap, we need sleep if we want fat loss. That's a hard stop, right? So if you're struggling with this, well, I don't want to put my screen to bed. You know, I don't want to, you know, get off. I use my screen to relax at night before I go to bed. What, you know, just be honest with yourself. What do you really want more? Do you want to hang on to scrolling your phone right before bed? Or do you want to optimize for fat loss? No judgment. It's up to you, right? So just be honest with yourself and figure out what you really want. Okay, so we know that lack of sleep impacts our fat loss. And then what do we do about it? We're going to work to figure out when we need to stop our caffeine intake. We're going to plan a bedtime. We're going to turn off our screens. And then we're going to have a nighttime routine. Okay, so for your action item for this week, I want you to pick one of those four steps and implement it this week. Does it need to be finding the hard stop time with caffeine? Does it need to be setting that bedtime, which means figuring out when you need to be up in the morning and working backwards? Does it need to be turning the screens off, like putting your phone in a different room? Just figure out what that is for you and implement it this week and see how you sleep, okay? It's fascinating to me how when we make these small changes that don't seem to have a huge impact, but over time, they snowball and it has a huge effect on your overall well-being as a person, right? And of course, the impact on your fat loss. So I hope this was helpful for you. I hope it encouraged you to work on prioritizing getting some more sleep. And I will talk to you next time. If you enjoyed today's podcast, be sure to subscribe, and it would make my day to see a 5-star written review from you. Leaving a written review helps other women find this podcast so they can start to get results too. Let's help other women start their fitness journey together.